This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salam ala ashrafil anbiya wal mursaleen. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman kathiran kathira. Fama ba'du, my brothers and sisters, as I mentioned in my last khutbah, living in the revolution, there are three things that we must change in our approach to life to leverage the benefits of technology and counter its ill effects. Number one is change the way we connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Two, change the way we teach. And three, change the way we relate with one another. Each of these is important enough for us to reflect on. So here goes. Let us reflect on how we relate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam today. For most of us, it is ceremonial, ritualistic, restricted to special occasions like when we go to the masjid or when we pray and when we are in a religious gathering. We read the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ceremoniously at the beginning of some of our meetings, which is not even a sunnah. We have Quran recitation competitions, we try to memorize the Quran and learn to recite it in a melodious way. We learn the rules of tajweed and we criticize others whose tajweed we think is incorrect. We write the Quran in different styles of calligraphy and decorate it beautifully and make it a work of art. When our children, and I'm talking about the subcontinent, India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, in the Middle East, I'm sure that you have similar customs, and elsewhere, when our children are 4 years, 4 months and 4 days old, we do a ceremony called Bismillah in my city, Hyderabad. In Bangalore, they call it Ameen, where a child is made to recite the first five ayat of Surah Al-Alaq, from Iqra Bismi Rabbika Alladhi Khalaq to the fifth ayah, by an imam. The masjid, local masjid imam comes and he recites these ayat, and this little boy or girl, they repeat after them and then they are given sweets. When we enter a new house, we carry the Quran on our heads, on top like this. When we get married, the Quran is carried over the head of the bride like an umbrella, maybe to shield her from her husband. I can go on, but this will suffice to illustrate our relationship with the Kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the only means that we have to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this life. He Jalla Jalaluhu gave us the tools to vet and assess our relationship with Him. And He said, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. He said, which means in Surah Al-Anfal, the believers are only those who, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu is mentioned, their hearts tremble with the awe and majesty of Allah. And when His ayat, the Quran, is recited before them, or recited to them, or they read it, they, the ayat, increase their faith. And these people put their trust in their Rabb alone. وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you to ask what the purpose of the revelation of the Quran is. Is it to get stuck in how to pronounce it? To sing it, no matter that we call it recitation, to write it in beautiful fonts, to translate it into many languages, to create all sorts of ceremonial uses for it, most or none of which which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ever did, and of course to argue about it? Or is it one simple purpose, to understand it and to live by it, to practice it in our lives? Let us ask what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question us about. The tajweed, the pronunciation, the kitabat, the writing and the calligraphy, The rusumat, the traditions, many of them invented by us, or the amal bil Quran, the actions by the Quran. Which of these will we be questioned about? And which of these do we focus on? I remind you and myself that the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the closest that we can get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this life. Let us use it to get close to Him, Jalla Jalaluhu. The way to do that is to forget everyone else and to focus on ourselves. To ask ourselves, what is the Quran doing for us or doing to us when we recite it or listen to it? Forget the reciter. Forget everything. Focus on yourself and ask, what happened to me when I heard or read that ayah? Think about this. What do you say about a farmer who spends his time examining the fields and crops of his neighbors, criticizing them and so on, instead of tilling his own field, treating the soil, planting the seeds, watering them, protecting them from pests and diseases and predators? He's doing none of that. He's spending all his time looking at the field of his neighbors and criticizing them. Who do you think is going to starve in winter? Forget everyone. Focus on yourself. Not even our children, ourselves. Focus on ourselves. Because only a lighted lamp can light others. If the lamp wants to light others, what advice will you give it? Light up yourself. Where is your flame? Without your flame, you will never light anyone else's lamp. So let's do a little self-test. Focus on your heart and see what happens to it as I recite some Quran for you. It is the kalam of Allah. See what it does for you. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahu la ilaha illa huwal hayyul qayyum. لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسيا كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يؤوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشيا متصدياً من خشية الله وتلك الأمثال نضربها للناس لعلهم يتفكرون هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو عالم الغيب والشهادة هو الرحمن الرحيم هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر سبحان الله سبحان الله عما يشركون هو الله الخالق البارئ المصور له الأسماء الحسنى يسبح له ما في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. صدق الله العظيم. I am deliberately not translating these ayats, firstly because I know that you know them. And those who don't can read the translation. I recited first Ayatul Kursi, which is in Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah number 255, that is 255. Then I recited the last ayat of Surah Al-Hashr, which is 59, 21 to 24. And then I recited Surah Al-Ikhlas, Qul Huwallahu Ahad. Read the translation and ask yourself, do you know the meaning of these ayat? It's interesting, you might say, well, I'm asking you to first read the translation and then I'm asking you, do you know the meaning of these ayat? Let me explain by asking you another question. What is the meaning of Muhammad? What is the meaning of Muhammad? Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then let me tell you what Muhammad meant to Khubayb ibn Adi radiyallahu anhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They took Khubayb ibn Adi in a huge procession led by Abu Sufyan bin Harb and Safwan bin Umayyah to the place that they had chosen to execute him for his execution. The women and children who accompanied that and who made up that procession, they were screaming and making a big racket and saying, kill him, kill him. When they reached the place, Khubayb ibn Adi radiallahu anhu asked the leaders, he said, will you allow me to pray two rakat before my death? They allowed him. He prayed two rakat and recited short surahs. When he finished, he said to them, by Allah, if you thought that I had asked to pray out of fear of death or to delay it, my prayer would not be worth the trouble. The Makkans then started to attack him with their swords and they chopped off parts of his body, they chopped off his hands, eventually they chopped off his head, they dismembered him, they chopped off his arms and his legs and so on. But as they inflicted those first wounds, they shouted, they taunted him, and someone called out and said, what is the meaning of Muhammad? Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They actually didn't say that. They said, would you like Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to be in your place now while you go free? Khubayb ibn Adi radiallahu anhu replied with blood flowing, with parts of his body severed. He said, by Allah, I would not want to be safe and secure among my family while even a thorn pricks and hurts Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They got even more enraged and they started screaming for his blood. Khubayb radiallahu anhu then lifted his eyes to the heavens and he said, oh Allah, send my salam to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That was the meaning of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Khubayb ibn Adi. Now tell me, what does Muhammad mean to you? What does Muhammad mean to you? My brothers and sisters, there's a world of difference between meaning and translation. What you told me was translation. What I asked you was meaning. Meaning means value. Meaning means value. What does he mean to you? It's value, not translation of the word in some other language. But the problem is that when we separated tazkiyah from ta'aleem, the noor left the ilm and only words remained. when we separated purification and preparation from teaching, the knowledge, the light of understanding left knowledge and only words remained. We remained stuck in the words, in our own word games, while our hearts remained dark with the zulmat, the darkness of doubt and fear, fear and hope from people, envy and greed, arrogance and ignorance, and worst of all, divisions and sectarian politics. Ask why Muslims have more conflicts with Muslims than with anyone else. Tragically, this is our history. And the reality is that nations that don't learn from history are condemned to repeat it. Let's see now, how do we relate with Rasulullah ﷺ? Once again, the same story. Tradition, rituals, mostly ending in biryani. Invention of acts of worship, no matter that he warned us about inventing acts of worship. كُلُّ مُحَدَثَةٍ بِدَعْ كُلُّ بِدَعْةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ وَكُلُّ ضَلَالَةٍ فِي النَّارِ قَالَ النَّبِيُّ الْكَرِيمُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. But we invent all kinds of acts of worship in the name of Rasulullah sallam. We sing nasheed and natiya kalam, some of it, with words of open shirk. Raising Rasulullah sallam to a level that he specifically warned us against doing. Let's do a little test about our relationship with Rasulullah sallam. Let me ask you, how many of us can name the children of Rasulullah? I won't even ask you in order of their ages. Just name them. How many of you can do that? How many of us can name our mothers, the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How many of us can name the wives, the azwajat mutahrat, the ummahat al-mu'mineen? How many of us have read, I'm not even talking about studied, I'm saying how many of us have read any book of seerah, of the biography of Rasulullah sallallahu? How many of you are attending my class, I Love the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam? I can ask you many more questions, but this will suffice. Then ask, how we can say that we love someone we know so little or nothing about? How can we say that we love someone we know so little or even nothing about? Love for Rasulullah is expressed by obeying and emulating him in his ita'at and his ittiba. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to us in Surah Al-Ahzab, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُوا اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَةِ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, which means, indeed, in the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you have a good example, you have the best example, you have an excellent example to follow for the one who hopes in the meeting with Allah and the last day and remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a great deal. A way of life recommended and guaranteed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Think about this. We make dua for the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the akhirah, right? I ask you and myself, are you serious about that? Are we serious about this dua? Do we really want that? If we are, it's easy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us how to get it and he promised it to us. Let's ask, what stops us from ensuring that we are with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Jannah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَنْ يُطِيِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. Allah said in Surah An-Nisa, and whosoever obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then they will be in the company of those on whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed His grace, of the prophets, the Siddiqoon, like Abu Bakr as-Siddiq and others, the martyrs, the shuhada, and the righteous. And how excellent these companions are. Obey and emulate. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to emulate Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in every aspect of life and said, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ Allah said in Surah Ali Imran, say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell the people, if you really love Allah, then emulate me, imitate me, do like I do, talk like I talk, walk like I walk, make decisions like I make decisions, right? Emulate me. Because emulation is the truest sign of love. We emulate for one reason only. We may obey out of fear or out of love, but emulation is only and only out of love. People we emulate may not even know we emulate them, but we emulate them because we love them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, say, O Muhammad, to the people, if you really love Allah, then emulate me. Then Allah will love you. And He will forgive your sins. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is oft forgiving and most merciful. My brothers and sisters, the time has come for us to make a choice. Let me tell you two true stories. Roughly about 100 years ago or so, Muslims went to South America, to Brazil, to Argentina, to Venezuela, from the Middle East. Muslims from the Middle East went to these South American countries. Today, of the original families, almost all have lost Islam. I've heard many stories of old men meeting the brothers of Tabligh who go there with tears in their eyes, showing them a ragged musalla, sajjada, some with a copy of the Mushaf, the Quran, and lots of photos of their families, children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, all Christian. Remember that not even one was forced to convert to Islam. They did it because nobody taught them Islam. Generation after generation, parents are too busy to worry about their children. They thought that after all, their mother tongue was Arabic, Quran was their inheritance, their virasat, Islam was in their blood, and so nothing would happen to their children. They were wrong, very wrong. And then, when they discovered that, it was too late. Contrast this with South Africa, where Muslims went not 100 years ago, but 300 years ago. They lived through apartheid in small, segregated enclaves. Today, in Tarawih, you go to any of the big masjids in South Africa, the first saf is reserved for Huffaz, whole saf. How did this happen? It happened because of the maktab system. 2 hours a day, 4 days a week after school. Now you might say, well, what about driving to and from the masjid? They did it. The parents did it. What about soccer, cricket, tennis, basketball, gym, whatnot? Everything after the maktab. Non-negotiable. No compromise. Most of these people are business people. So their children also work in the shops. But most South Africans, vast majority of them, pray at least one salah in the masjid. They have some magnificent madrasas, but the backbone of the Islamic education is the maktab, the after school. That is the guard, the fortress, which protected them for 300 years and continues to protect them from the evil influences of society. And it preserved both Islam and their culture. Today you see South Africans in all kinds of highly complex and powerful professional positions, but you also see their confident adherence to the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They look like Muslims. They practice Islam with total confidence, and they work for the good of society in many ways. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's law of success is that success comes to anyone who makes intelligent effort consistently over time. Let us ask if we want to be successful or not, and then see if we are making intelligent effort consistently. Let us reflect and become aware of what the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing to us internally and in our lives. Ensure that we follow the sunnah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam joyfully and confidently, not apologetically, and make it our identity and our signature, and focus on our life goal and work intelligently and consistently. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us to ask for the path of steadfastness. If you are process focused on the path, then not only is the goal assured, inshallah, but you will reach the goal in the right way. This is very important, because in the sight of Allah, both the means and the goal, the path and the destination, are equally important. If you focus on the goal, forgetting the path, then it is possible that you may achieve the goal in ways that are dishonorable, exploitative, and even illegal perhaps. But if you focus on acting right, on being honorable and charitable and forgiving and humble and working with integrity as your inalienable, non-negotiable differentiator, then you will not only succeed spectacularly in this world, but you will leave behind a legacy of honor, your sadaqa jariya for the next world. That is why Alphonse de Lamartine, the French historian and writer, wrote in his book called The History of Turkey, "If greatness of purpose, smallness of means, and astonishing results," three things, if greatness of purpose, smallness of means, and astonishing results are the three criteria of human genius, who would dare compare any great man in history with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? My brothers and sisters, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to be pleased with us and never to be displeased. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to connect with Him in a way that is pleasing to Him, and to connect with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a way that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to keep us connected until and after we meet Him Jalla Jalaluhu. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.